This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Back in the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we got a lot to talk about today. Don't ask. I don't know why we get these stories, but we do. Apparently a man almost masturbated to death. That's not funny. It's not funny. It's sad. It's frightening. I'll tell you guys what happened. But this is the show that this is why my show exists, so we could cover this news. So we're going to talk about that. COVID cases are rising, and many are questioning if we have half the country vaccinated, what the heck is going on here? So we're going to kind of break down what we think is going on. Do I think this variant could be more lethal than others? I actually do, and I'll tell you why. Fauci has come out talking about how we have two Americas. We're going to talk about that. We have medical groups, major medical groups coming out urging that all healthcare institutions mandate vaccines for their employees. We're going to talk about that. There was a medical student that last month threatened to kill faculty, blow up the school, kill other students. So we're going to kind of talk about how mental illness in the workplace isn't unique to any one industry, and how I think employers need to do a much better job of screening for this, especially in the medical student arena. And then a lot more news when it comes to the latest on sports and mandates. NFL got a pretty big size memo. The clubs got a pretty big size memo from the NFL urging that they're not going to mandate vaccines, but any of the unvaccinated players that cause an outbreak, it causes the team to forfeit. They have to pay. So it's obviously not an easy path for those that have unvaccinated players. So as you can see, we've got a very busy day on the Dr. Dahlia Show, but never too busy to take your calls, your questions, your comments at 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So some of you guys have had a colonoscopy and you never want to have one again. Me, I've had four. I had my fourth one on Friday. It's a piece of cake, but the only reason why it's a piece of cake is because I have it down to an art. So I get some sleep, I don't run out of toilet paper, I don't get very embarrassed about being naked, and so I kind of have it down to an art. But a lot of you guys really, really mess up when it comes to colonoscopy. So I figured I'd give you guys the blow-by-blow on what to do and what not to do and how my colonoscopy went. So as we've discussed, the colonoscopy is one of the most awesome screening tests out there because it's the only cancer screening test that actually can help prevent cancer. Mammograms are just a picture, right? Pap smears are a sampling. Prostate checks, prostate exams, right? Even though we don't use them for screening per se, they just check, they just screen. But a colonoscopy, if they find that polyp or a polyp, and all polyps, right, don't necessarily mean they're cancerous. Many are benign. But if any cancer is going to start, it's going to start from a polyp. The colonoscopy is a scope that goes up through the colon, and if it sees that polyp, it can remove it. Well, in order for the doctor to really see if there's a little baby polyp, and we're talking millimeters, all right, at the start, your colon needs to be squeaky clean. So you have to do this prep. And this prep includes not only stool softeners, but laxatives. We need to soften the stool, and then we need to push the stool out. And so we use Dulcolax, Max Citrate. There's a whole bunch of preps out there. And many of you find the prep worse than the scope. I do. I can't stand the prep. It makes me nauseous. So one thing I've always suggested, which really helped me with my first colonoscopy, is to try to do a clear liquid diet, maybe a day and a half to 2 days before the procedure. A lot of gastroenterologists say the day before the procedure. But if you had a big steak, if I had a steak Wednesday night, I might have a little trouble, right, with the prep. So I usually start clears by Wednesday lunch, and then Thursday clears, and then Friday have my procedure. And by clears, don't be doing dark red Jell-O or Coca-Cola. Make sure it's light, because the last thing you want your doctor to think is that you're bleeding because there's like red Jell-O in there. And by clears, it's like Sprite, chicken broth, Jell-O, popsicles, things like that. You want to make sure you hydrate. A lot of times people just do the prep, and because they're so nauseated from the drink part of the prep, they don't drink water. They feel full. You won't flush out the colon if you don't drink enough water. So you got to drink enough water. That's imperative. Also, what you want to do is you want to pre-purchase enough toilet paper, because I was in the downstairs bathroom, right, and I was on my last roll, and I really don't want to call the kids or my husband, you know, to try to bring me one. So you want to always pre-prepare and have plenty of toilet paper. You also want to make sure you have a plan. So if your bathroom is the only one with the shower or the bath, before you do your prep, you want to make sure everybody takes their bubble bath, everybody does a shower, and just gets, because otherwise somebody's going to be in the bubble bath or doing whatever they do in the bathroom, and then you can't run. And trust me, you are going to have to run. I think I got like 2 extra miles on my iWatch. Apple Watch. Have some witch hazels or tucks nearby, because it kind of, your tushy gets a little sore. Do not do the prep at work. Do not start the prep at work. And a lot of you guys, you're supposed to take the day off before the colonoscopy, and you don't. I don't. Wait till you get home. Do not post your blow-by-blow on social media. People really don't want to hear about your bathroom runs. Trust me. All right? Don't use cheap toilet paper. Make sure you get the soft stuff. Don't eat or drink the day of your procedure. Don't pass gas. While you're doing your prep, don't pass gas, because you're going to short. And so, you know, I wrote a piece on that. We're going to talk about sharks also. You want to make sure you, when you do go in for your colonoscopy, realize you're going to be naked. Okay? You know, just get that out. Just, you know, this, I told everybody, you know, I shaved, you know, the one leg that everybody would see, not the other. And, you know, asked if they had a scope large enough for my butt. But it does get a little embarrassing. You're going to have a lot of air on the inside, so don't worry about getting that air out. And it really wasn't that bad. And I'm so glad I did it. My tushy and colon are squeaky clean. And hopefully I don't have colon cancer. So get your colonoscopy. 1-877-DOC-SALLY. Don't go away.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. it's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so this next segment is above, I guess, rated PG-13. So make sure your kids, well, maybe some of the older kids need to listen to this. But anyway, the content of this next segment is going to be a little bit older. So, yeah. So we have some breaking news. Apparently, a gentleman in Japan almost died because of masturbating. And this actually made it into a, this is a medical case study in the Journal of Stroke. And with this case, they were concerned that he might have threw himself into a hemorrhagic stroke in the middle of climaxing. And so it's breaking news, so I haven't been able to dissect and really kind of, understand all the mechanisms at play, but this isn't the first time we've heard of somebody having like a clapping headache after sex and vomiting. So allegedly, 51-year-old male, he was in Japan, and don't worry, there's no name, you know, so he doesn't, you know, people don't find out who this is. And apparently, he had a self-session. And after this self-session, he felt severe headache, vomiting, and the study authors believe, the medical case, the doctors believe he suffered a subarachnoid hemorrhage. So a vessel burst because of the activity. And he lived. I think he was only in the hospital for about 9 days. So he was able to live. Apparently, he has had a history of cerebrovascular accidents in the past. EMTs, when they came to his house, thought that he had a stroke. Then obviously doctors did a CAT scan. They found he suffered from a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is a potentially fatal type of stroke caused by this blood vessel rupture that happens in the space surrounding the brain. Now, this is not the first time that doctors have found masturbating, and I'm so sorry to bring, I know we got so much other stuff to talk about, but, you know, this is something that's pretty common for a lot of people out there. So we need to, I guess, warn people that you could be at risk for a stroke with masturbating. In fact, one study found that a ruptured aneurysm risk increases 14% in the immediate time right after, I guess, a self-session. And so wait a second. Actually, I want to look up those case studies because apparently there's a lot of like reports on cardiac events or strokes that could happen with sexual activity, and then some of them get dismissed. You know, I happen to think sex after a heart attack is okay if the cardiologist clears you. We actually spoke about that when you can have sex. We'll revisit that again. But my concern are the people that haven't been diagnosed yet. And many of you have kind of been a little, I guess, suspicious of some of these stories where people die on a toilet seat, you know, or they die in bed. And you wonder if going poop can kill you. You know, I'm not sure, was it, you know, did Elvis die in a toilet seat? Did James Gandolfini die in a toilet seat? I don't know how many people possibly died on a toilet seat. But you wonder if the Valsalva or the pressure that people have when they poop could cause enough pressure in the heart or in the brain that could cause either a stroke or can cause a heart condition. Well, same thing with sex. I mean, with sex, heart rate's supposed to go up, you're active, maybe that's the only activity you do if you're not athletic, and so here you are, you're, even if it's a self-session, you get your heart rate up, maybe you're holding your breath, maybe you're not, you know, getting enough oxygen, maybe you're doing things to yourself like, you know, anaerobic asphyxiation, and I think that could stress the body. So personally, ever since that case where that guy had a threesome and died, and the wife sued the doctor. Remember I told you guys about that case? There was apparently this man that cheated on his wife in a menage a trois. And he had seen a cardiologist the week before saying he was having chest pain. So the cardiologist said, let's set you up for a stress test. The stress test ended up being scheduled the following Monday. Not sure if it was an insurance issue, not sure if it was a patient schedule issue or a doctor issue, but the guy engages in a menage a trois. The Sunday before, dies, wife sues the doctor, the family sues the doctor, out of a $5 million case, doctor had to pay about $1 million, and the guy was only in his 30s, the one who died. So ever since then, I've been telling people, if at all you think you're at risk for stroke or heart attack, all right, get yourself checked out. You don't want to be in the middle of a threesome or in a compromising position and have a medical event, possibly fatal, and you think, well, you know what? Sex is something that we all do. Masturbating is something we do. That shouldn't be anything that kills me. The problem is if you are vulnerable from a heart standpoint, from a stroke standpoint, when you undergo those activities where your heart rate is up, your blood pressure might go up, you might not be getting enough air, faster respirations, that could sadly be a perfect storm for you to have an event. So I've also been asked if, you know, masturbating is bad for you and can it cause cancer. So one of the very first weeks I was on air, back in 2009, there was a study that spoke about how masturbators, frequent masturbators, could be at risk for prostate cancer. I think that was debunked because there was another study that actually looked at masturbating could actually decrease one's risk for prostate cancer. So I don't know if it's like right hand versus left hand. I don't know if it's time of day. I don't know if it's material being used. But let's just dissect masturbating, okay? Let's just dissect it for a little bit, okay? I don't know if it's so much the sexual act of it as much as there's a lot of anxiety. So for example, when people do it, you know, people will have sex out in the open, they'll do it in public, they'll announce it on social media, yet when people have a self session, they're very quiet about it. They're very, well, and that's true. I mean, I remember going to school, you know, my friends would be late to class, I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I was, you know, I had to, like, blankety blank. I didn't need to know that. You know, so, I mean, you know, maybe the anxiety, maybe the worry that the wife's going to come home, or the worry that the kids could walk in, or the worry that, I don't know, or just the guilt. A lot of people have religious guilt, and they think they're not allowed to do self-sessions. And I'm wondering if that also adds to the stress. And I think somebody should do a study out there on where we see more fatalities. Do we see more fatalities with masturbating, or do we see more fatalities during sex? Now, somebody could say, well, more people have sex, so you might see higher numbers. True, but what if more people masturbate? I mean, I think if you actually look at the numbers of sessions, I would say more people probably do self-sessions as a whole throughout their lifetime than sex. So you would have to kind of filter out relatively figure out the number and the relative risk based on, you know, how many cases versus how many instances somebody does that. But I when you see this headline, and it is a headline, you could probably see more of it in the next day or two, and I'm sure it's going to be all over the news. And this poor 51-year-old man, if anybody knows who he is, he's going to be embarrassed as heck. And who knows, maybe he should really write a book or go on a circuit, because I think a lot of people would think he's a hero for coming out and speaking about, hey, look, guys, you know, this is what I did, and I almost died. So make sure you're not at risk for stroke. So how do you know if you could be at risk for stroke? Well, one, if it's in the family. Two is if you have high blood pressure. High blood pressure could put you at risk. Diabetes could put you at risk. If you smoke, that could put you at risk. If you drink alcohol, that could put you at risk. There's two types of strokes. There's the clot-forming stroke, where you could shoot a plaque of cholesterol or just any arterial plaque that could go up to the brain and stop blood flow, or the hemorrhagic, the bleeding stroke, more rare, and that's what he had, where you bleed. A stroke is basically lack of oxygen to the part of the brain, so that can happen because either there's a blockage, or when you bleed, obviously the blood isn't feeding the brain, it's going around that part of the brain. So a stroke is just where the brain isn't getting enough blood. So, you know, the risk of stroke can be minimized if you go to your medical provider, get your cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure in check, and maybe let your doctor know that during sex or self-sessions, you want to know you're not at risk for dropping dead. 1-877-DOCTELLY, don't go away.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. you could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate is voting to move forward on a $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure deal on Friday. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expects similar support for the proposal as there was on Wednesday when the Senate agreed to consider the bill. He is confident the Senate can make progress quickly.
The Senate remains on track to reach our goal of passing both a bipartisan infrastructure bill and a budget resolution with reconciliation instructions before the start of the August recess. It's an ambitious deadline, but the hard work put in by senators and staff means that we are on the right track to get it done.
Gas prices are rising as Americans get ready for the weekend. AAA reporting the national average for regular gasoline is $3.16 a gallon. Drivers in California paying the most for gas at $4.36 a gallon. USA Radio News. New data out shows the skies are not so friendly for flight attendants.
Nearly one in five flight attendants say they have gotten into a physical incident this year with a passenger, and their union is calling for criminal prosecution of people who act up on planes. This flight attendant was asked if she is scared.
Sometimes, a little bit, yeah. You get on a plane full of people, and some of them aren't very happy, and you just never know what's going to happen.
From the USA Radio News, West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
The Pacific Northwest is preparing for more excessive heat. AccuWeather saying temperatures once again are expected to spike in parts of the Northwest this weekend. Afternoon highs in Portland and Spokane could be 10 to 15 degrees above normal. It won't get as hot as last month's killer heat wave, but some Northwest cities could still see temperatures in the triple digits. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So last night, News 13 had asked me, Jeremy Chen, had asked me to kind of discuss some of the questions that many people are having. You know, these case counts, you know, are the cases multiple people or an individual getting tested 4 or 5 times and that case is going up? And why is the variant, you know, coming now, and is it deadly or not? So I figured I would answer some of those questions again, because not everybody listens to my show. You're pretty lucky, especially after the first 2 segments, what we had to talk about. But look, we talk about everything on this show. I was going to tell you guys about the club. Went to the club this weekend. It was really, really good. So we'll talk about that too. So here's the thing. All right. So first and foremost, when you guys are looking at the case counts, remember last year there was some controversy because some cities were reporting case counts. And so if somebody got tested for COVID and they were positive, and then they wanted to go back to work in a couple weeks, and they tested again and it was positive, In some cities, that was counted as two cases. If the city didn't have a means to have a database where, okay, Mr. Smith, you know, came in, this is, you know, this is his follow-up test, it's his follow-up test. On the way beginning, the case count numbers were a little bit skewed because they were somebody coming in, or somebody's in another city, or they go to another clinic to get tested, so the test gets reported, and if nobody reconciles them, it looks like multiple cases. Nowadays, that's not supposed to be the case. Right? So if you got COVID, you want to go back to work, you're still testing positive, that's still one case. Now, if you got COVID in 2020, and then last week, you end up now having COVID a second time, that should be counted as a new case. And I believe most health districts and health departments are doing it that way. So that's to answer the question on, you know, the case number should be singularly. All right? Now, what people want to know also is Delta variant deadlier? And this is something, if you've noticed, that the media has been very, very careful to say and to cover, because I think it's too early to tell. So I broke it down. I wrote an article and I broke it down. And the issue we're having with figuring out if it's more lethal or not is when somebody gets COVID or they get severe COVID, they might fight it for a week or two. So the Delta cases really started to spike in the last couple weeks. So if you notice with the American charts, the charts in the U.S., we see the spikes in cases, but you still see the death rates, even though there's still deaths and deaths are still happening. You don't see it follow the same spike because people are now in the hospital, or hospitalizations jumped a few thousand over the weekend. So while they're in the hospital, we hope they make it. If they don't make it, then those numbers we're not going to see for a week or two. Not to mention the reporting of it. If a hospital is starting to get overwhelmed, you know, they might not report the second it happens. The reports might come in the following week. And so, and then even the charting. Then not only does it get reported, then the agency that's making the chart and making the graph has to chart it, and then they have to make the website, update the website. So there is going to be a week or two lag. So I think we're still just a little bit too short to be able to say if this current variant wave that we're seeing now in the U.S. is more deadly. When you look at these graphs, though, you're going to wonder why you don't really see the graph start till April 2020. Well, if you remember, we had some clusters when it came to the testing in late February. It wasn't until late March that we actually had test kits that we could distribute nationally for people to use for testing. So the hospitals in January and February and early March 2020 were grappling with cases that could have still been flu, that were probably COVID, also heart attacks and pneumonia, all the other stuff, but they couldn't necessarily discern which was COVID or not because we didn't have enough tests. And some of the tests originally were faulty. So when you look at the graphs and you're like, wait a second here, there really weren't a lot of cases in April 2020. That's just because, remember, that's when it was tested. So the only way to really kind of compare data of this Delta variant to others is looking at that wave that happened this last fall, winter season that we just went through. That was one of the biggest spikes in waves of cases that we saw, but that's also when we tested the most. Now, that was allegedly the wild type, the original COVID still. The UK variant, or the Alpha variant, didn't really become the majority variant until spring 2021. So if we're going to do our number crunching, we have to look at the wave comparing current Delta to that high spike in the fall and winter. So those are the numbers we're going to have to kind of play with. With the Delta variant, it started to spike this last couple weeks. Now, somebody could say, well, Dahlia, just use the UK's data. Okay, I could ask the British. The British are really nice. They're like, what in bloody hell do you want our data for? Well, I just kind of need to, you know, figure out what's going on here in America. Well, why don't you do your own bloody statistics? Why is it on us? Go ask the Queen. So the British, you know, they'll give us their data, and I'm seeing their data, and very interestingly, the British have their Delta spike in the spring. Their death rate did not go up that much. So that's a great sign. So based on that, this is why you haven't heard in the news that the Delta variant was quote-unquote more lethal. What you heard was it was more infectious. The UK was on top of their vaccine regimen. I think they were about, I think they're about 60% vaccinated, their country, of 70 plus million. So the UK was really on it from a vaccine standpoint. And so, yes, their cases went up, but they had a lot of people vaccinated, so they probably had less deaths. But we want to know what's going on now in America. So even though we could use what's going on with the UK, we have to be prepared for the Delta Plus variant. We have to, you know, understand that our dynamics could be a little different from the UK. So this is why I think the variant could be a little bit more deadly. When you saw the surge of deaths and cases in the beginning of 2020 and then documented in 2020, in the 2020 to 2021 fall and winter season, okay, that's usually the more deadly time of year for America. That's stroke season. That's pneumonia season. That's flu season. Even though there was a milder flu season, there's still people that had flu. And so I'm a little concerned when we have people die in the dead of summer. The summer is not flu season, pneumonia season. You can still have heart attacks, but you really see those peak in the winter times. So when you see deaths during the summer, you start to wonder, well, wait a second, you know, this COVID might cause a bigger punch. The other thing, too, that's very interesting is most of the people that got sick with COVID had diabetes, were overweight, had high blood pressure, had a bunch of comorbidities. Now we're seeing younger people get COVID. So there's younger populations that don't have as many comorbidities. So if this virus is able to take down a healthy younger person, that makes me wonder if it's also more lethal. So you see, you know, I don't want to spread fear and, you know, have everybody panic and all that. You know, we're still recommending get your vaccine. The vaccine is probably one of the best things you could do, you know, to protect yourself, because we still have efficacy, pretty good efficacy, especially with the Pfizer and Moderna, and a good amount of efficacy with Johnson & Johnson. You know, maybe not as good as Pfizer and Moderna, but it's still providing providing protection. But you know, if over the next few weeks see young people die with no medical issues, and we're seeing people die in the summer, my vote would be I think this is more lethal than some of the other ones, which is why, you know, we need to kind of not compare it to the wild type that we saw last year. 1-877-DOCTOR-ALLY, don't go away.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys,
Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I support the vaccine. I think the vaccine will help. I think the vaccine is keeping many people out of the hospital. I think there are breakthrough cases, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of us who have been vaccinated could still get COVID. Some of us might still get severe COVID, might even die, but the rate of it is going to be much, much lower in those of us who are vaccinated, which is why I support the vaccine and I'm pro getting the vaccine, assuming your doctor says it's okay and you don't have, you know, risk factors that, or allergies or anything that would disqualify you. However, what I am not for are mandates. And I'm very vocal about how I don't think anybody can force you to get this, especially since it isn't officially FDA approved. So I'm kind of unique when it comes to those in the medical field, because I know there's a lot of nurses, there's a lot of medical professionals out there, there's a lot of people who are concerned about the safety, their race, their demographic, having been studied, having been evaluated to the degree that they would feel comfortable in terms of the safety with it. And so when somebody, you know, is living in our great state, great country of America, they want to be able to have the choice of what to do to protect themselves. And so mandates are going to come as more and more officials are recommending them. And this Delta variant, if the Delta variant didn't spike, you know, I noticed, you know, early on in the summer, as there was a lot of vaccine hesitancy, you know, there was this get vaccinated. But once the Delta variant spiked, that's when people said, okay, well, there's going to be consequences if people don't get vaccinated. And you're putting the whole country at risk. So, yes, unvaccinated groups of individuals can allow this virus to propagate. But I'm only going to confirm a statement like that once we get numbers on how many vaccinated individuals are spreading the virus. I don't want to blame just one group. If vaccinated individuals get the virus and vaccinated individuals can spread it, then that would lead me to think that this virus is, you know, spread whether you're vaccinated or not. Unvaccinated would spread it more, but, you know, lay off the blame game. Well, major health groups are now calling for COVID-19 vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. And the mandate wants 17 million workers to get their vaccine, according to the American College of Physicians. And healthcare professionals from over 50 organizations representing these millions of workers called for mandatory vaccines among healthcare and long-term care employees. This is as infections climb nationwide. Unvaccinated healthcare workers, right, put vulnerable patients at risk for infection, like unvaccinated kids, they say, older adults, those with weakened immune systems. The joint statement reads, citing already requiring vaccinations for flu, hepatitis, and pertussis. So this is a move I understand why they made. I'm not a fan of it. But already many healthcare institutions, like me, I had to get my hepatitis vaccine. I didn't get a choice. When I was in medical school, I had to get them. I was fine with it. I get my flu shot each year. I got my COVID shot. I got my pertussis. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to support mandating. I just don't think you could force it. That's just my problem there. Groups like the AMA, American Nurses Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, Association of American Medical Colleges signed off on the endorsement to protect the safety of patients and residents of long-term care facilities and make the healthcare sector a leader in COVID-19 vaccination, just as cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are once again rising throughout the United States. So this is the crux of it. I got the flu shot, so I wouldn't get the flu and give it to my patients. But I knew, having gotten the flu shot, I could still carry flu. So I would wear a mask, medical mask, around my patients. Okay? Not this underwear type lace stuff that people are putting on their faces. And so I get why in a hospital setting and in a nursing home facility, they want to make sure staff are vaccinated and not coughing COVID all over the patient. That's I get that. But vaccinated individuals can still spread COVID. That's why I'm not pro-mandate. I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm not pro-mandate. Because if you're telling me that somebody vaccinated has zero chance of that virus existing around a 15-meter radius of that worker, you got me convinced.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
You got me convinced. But how does Siri not hear me? I'm louder than loud. But if a vaccinated individual can still get COVID, can still cough on you, can still spread it, then how are you mandate? Where? Why the mandate? If you're really worried about vulnerable people being near somebody that could spread COVID, then have a robot take care of them. So, I would almost rather say anybody who, let's say, has immunity, maybe let people take a blood test. The problem with the immunity is it is really stronger with the Pfizer and Moderna. We've seen the studies show immunity stronger with Pfizer and Moderna. Self-immunity from having an infection is a little bit better than the Johnson & Johnson with the variants. In terms of the wild type, it's starting to be moot because most of the cases now are Delta. But one recent study showed the immune titers were stronger with Pfizer and Moderna. But there was still immunity with people who got it naturally. So, again, unless it's 100%, I don't think you could convince me that a mandate is practical. But we do have patients being around others, and they're vulnerable. You know, like when I got my colonoscopy, I wake up, and I'm in a room. I think I might have had my mask on. I don't remember. Maybe not. I don't think I had my mask on. So it was nice to know, even though I've been vaccinated, that when I wake up, you know, after surgery, I don't have somebody who can make me sick, you know, with COVID. But the other thing, too, is, are they vaccinated against everything? Can they still give me tuberculosis? Can they still give me, you can't take a healthcare worker and have them vaccinated against every single pathogen. If we have a vaccine, you could recommend they get that done. And some hospitals, I guess, are requiring it. But I could still get sick. I could still get the flu, even if I got the flu vaccine. I could still get the flu from somebody. So healthcare workers, as you know, were prioritized to receive the COVID-19 vaccinations. They got them first, last December, January. And then healthcare personnel, their infections dropped. Over 500,000 infections and 1,600 virus-related deaths have occurred among healthcare personnel. One in four healthcare workers, though, have not received the vaccine. And so that's according to the American College of Physicians. So we have 17 million healthcare workers. So a big, concern is in America, they want to make sure that we have all hands on deck. And if our healthcare workers are getting sick, it's our duty to protect our healthcare workers. And it's also the healthcare industry's duty to make sure we have healthcare workers available to be there during these crises. But again, healthcare workers still have a right, I think, guaranteed by the Constitution. I understand SCOTUS ruled against the Constitution when it came to that and said, no, vaccines can be mandated, but I still believe we have a choice. 1-877-DR-FELLY, don't go away.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.